plain just about covered in damn elephants. No, we'd have to go around on the coast, said the dealer, drawing a long curving line in the sand. The reason being there's the jungle just here. He tapped on the parched ground. And here, he tapped again, slightly concussing an emerging locust that had optimistically mistaken the first tap for an onset of the rains. No roads in the jungle. Mbu took the stick and drew a line straight through the jungle. Where 1,000 elephants want to go, boss, they don't need no roads. Azarel considered this. Then he took the stick and drew a jagged line by the jungle. But here's the mountains of the sun, he said. Very high, lots of deep ravines, and no bridges. Mbu took the stick, indicated the jungle, and grinned. I know where there's a lot of prime timber just been uprooted, boss, he said. Yeah? Okay, boy. But we've still got to get it into the mountains. It just so happened that 1,000 real strong elephants will be going that way, boss. Mbu grinned again. His tribe went in for sharpening their teeth to points. Not for any particular religious reason, they just rather liked the effect when they grinned. He handed back the stick. Azurel's mouth opened slowly. By the 7 moons of Nazrim, he breathed. We could do it, you know. It's only, 1,300 or 1,400 miles that way. Maybe less even. Yeah, we could really do it. Yes, boss. You know, I've always wanted to do something big with my life. Something real, said Azurel. I mean, an ostrich here, a giraffe there. It's not the sort of thing you get remembered for. He stared at the purple-grey horizon. We could do it, couldn't we? He said. Sure, boss. Right over the mountains. Sure, boss. If you looked really hard, you could just see that the purple-grey was topped with white. They're pretty high mountains, said Azurel, his voice now edged with doubt. Slope go up, slope go down, said Mbu, gnomically. That's true, said Azurel. Like, on average, it's flat all the way. He gazed at the mountains again. 1,000 elephants, he muttered. Do you know, boy, when they built the tomb of King Leonid of Ephib, they used 100 elephants to cart the stone, and 200 elephants, history tells us, were employed in the building of the palace of the Roxy in Klatch City. Thunder rumbled in the distance. 1,000 elephants, Azurel repeated. 1,000 elephants. I wonder what they want them for. The rest of the day passed in a trance for Victor. There was more galloping and fighting and more rearranging of time. Victor still found that hard to understand. Apparently, the film could be cut up and then stuck together again later so that things happened in the right order. And some things didn't have to happen at all. He saw the artist draw one card, which said, In the King's Palace, 1 hour later. 1 hour of time had been vanished, just like that. Of course, he knew that it hadn't really been surgically removed from his life. It was the sort of thing that happened all the time in books. And on the stage, too. He'd seen a group of strolling players once, and the performance had leapt magically from a battlefield in Tussaut to the Ephebian fortress that night, with no more than a brief descent of the sackcloth curtain and a lot of muffled bumping and cursing as the scenery was changed. But this was different. 10 minutes after doing a scene, you'd do another scene that was taking place the day before, somewhere else, because Dibbler had rented the tents for both scenes and didn't want to have to pay any more rent than necessary. You just had to try and forget about everything, but now, and that was hard when you were also waiting every moment for that fading sensation. It didn't come. Just after another half-hearted fight scene, Dibbler announced that it was all finished.
Aren't we going to do the ending? Said Ginger. You did that this morning, said Sol. Oh.
There was a chittering noise as the demons were let out of their box and sat swinging their little legs on the edge of the lid and passing a tiny cigarette from hand to hand. The extras queued up for their wages. The camel kicked the vice president in charge of camels. The handle men wound the great reels of film out of the boxes and went away to whatever arcane cutting and gluing the handle men got up to in the hours of darkness. Miss Cosmopolite, vice president in charge of wardrobe, gathered up the costume.